The following sermon by Jonathan Edwards is called The Most High, a prayer hearing God. Psalm 65, verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer. This psalm seems to be written either as a psalm of praise to God for some remarkable answer of prayer, in a bestowment of some public mercy, or else on occasion of some special faith and confidence which David had that his prayer would be answered. It is probable that this mercy bestowed or expected to be bestowed was some great public mercy, for which David had been very earnest and importunate, and had annexed a vow to his prayer, that he had vowed to God that if he would grant him his request, he would render him praise and glory. This seems to be the reason why he expresses himself as he does in the first verse of the psalm. Praise waits for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed, i.e., that praise which I have vowed to give you on the answer of my prayer waits for you to be given you as soon as you shall have answered my prayer, and the vow which I made to you shall be performed. In a verse of the text, there is a prophecy of the glorious times of the gospel, when all flesh shall come to the true God as to the God who hears prayer, which is here mentioned, is what distinguishes the true God from the gods to whom the nations prayed and sought, those gods who cannot hear and cannot answer their prayer. The time is coming when all flesh should come to that God who does hear prayer. Hence, we gather this doctrine, that it is a character of the Most High that he is a God who hears prayer. I shall handle this point in the following method. 1. Show that the Most High is a God that hears prayer. 2. That he is eminently such a God. 3. That herein he is distinguished from all false gods. 4. Give the reasons of the doctrine. The Most High is a God that hears prayer. Though he is infinitely above all and stands in no need of creatures, yet he is graciously pleased to take a merciful notice of poor worms of the dust. He manifests and presents himself as the object of prayer, appears as sitting on a mercy seat, that men may come to him by prayer. When they stand in need of anything, he allows them to come and ask it of him, and he is wont to hear their prayers. God in his word has given many promises that he will hear their prayers. The scripture is full of such examples, and in his dispensations towards his church manifests himself to be a God that hears prayer. Here it may be inquired what is meant by God's hearing prayer. There are two things implied in it. First, his accepting the supplications of those who pray to him. Their address to him is well taken. He is well pleased with it. He approves of their asking such mercies as they request of him and approves of their manner of doing it. He accepts their prayers as an offering to him. He accepts the honor they do him in prayer. Secondly, he acts agreeably to his acceptance. He sometimes manifests his acceptance of their prayers by special discoveries of his mercy and sufficiency, which he makes to them in prayer or immediately after. While they are praying, he gives them sweet views of his glorious grace, purity, sufficiency, and sovereignty, and enables them with great quietness to rest in him, to leave themselves in their prayers with him, submitting to his will and trusting in his grace and faithfulness. Such a manifestation God seems to have made of himself in prayer to Hannah, which quieted and composed her mind and took away her sadness. We read in 1 Samuel how earnest she was and how exercised in her mind, and that she was a woman of a sorrowful spirit. But she came and poured out her soul before God and spake out of the abundance of her complaint and grief. Then we read that she went away and ate, and her countenance was no more sad, verse 13. Which seems to have been from some refreshing discoveries which God had made of himself to her, to enable her quietly to submit to his will and trust in his mercy, in which God manifested his acceptance of her. Not that I conclude persons can hence argue that the particular thing which they ask will certainly be given them, or that they can particularly foretell from it what God will do in answer to their prayers, any further than he has promised in his word. Yet God may, and doubtless does, thus testify his acceptance of their prayers, and from this they may confidently rest in his providence, ordering and disposing with respect to the thing which they ask. Again, God manifests his acceptance of their prayers by doing for them agreeably to their needs and supplications. He not only inwardly and spiritually discovers his mercy to their souls by his Spirit, but outwardly by dealing mercifully with them in his providence, in consequence of their prayers, and by causing an agreeableness between his providence and their prayers. I proceed now to show, secondly, that the Most High is eminently a God that hears prayer. This appears in several things, given such free access to him by prayer. God in his word manifests himself ready at all times to allow us this privilege. He sits on a throne of grace, and there is no veil to hide the throne and keep us from it. The veil is rent from the top to the bottom. The way is open at all times, and we may go to God as often as we please. Although God be infinitely above us, yet we may come with boldness. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How wonderful is it that such worms as we should be allowed to come boldly at all times to so great a God? Thus God indulges all kinds of persons of all nations, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 2 and 3, to all that in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours, grace be to you. Yea, God allows the most vile and unworthy, the greatest sinners are allowed to come through Christ. And he not only allows, but encourages, and frequently invites them. Yea, manifests himself as delighting in being sought to by prayer, Proverbs 15, verse 8. The prayer of the upright is his delight. And in the Song of Solomon 2, verse 14, we have Christ saying to the spouse, O my dove, let me hear thy voice, for great is thy voice. The voice of the saints in prayer is sweet to Christ. He delights to hear it. He allows them to be earnest and importunate, yea, to the degree as to take no denial, and as it were to give him no rest and even encourage him so to do. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest. Thus Christ encourages us in the parable of the importunate widow and the unjust judge. Luke 18. So in the parable of the man who went to his friend at midnight, Luke 11, verse 5. Thus God allowed Jacob to wrestle with him, yea, to be resolute in it. I will not let you go except you bless me. It is noted with approbation when men are violent for the kingdom of heaven and take it by force. Thus Christ suffered a blind man to be most importunate and unceasing in his cries to him. Luke 18, verses 38 and 39. He continued crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Others who were present rebuked him that he should hold his peace, looking upon it as too great a boldness and an indecent behavior toward Christ, thus to cry after him as he passed by. But Jesus did not rebuke him, but stood and commanded him to be brought to him, saying, What will you have me do to you? And when the blind man had told them, Jesus graciously granted his request. The freedom of access that God gives appears also in allowing us to come to him by prayer for everything we need, both temporal and spiritual, whatever else we need to be delivered from, or good we would obtain, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Second, that God is eminently of this character appears in his hearing prayer so readily. He often manifests his readiness to hear prayer by giving an answer so speedily, sometimes while they are yet speaking and sometimes before they pray, when they only have a design of praying. So ready is God to hear prayer that he takes notice of the first purpose of praying and sometimes bestows mercy upon it. Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. We read that when Daniel was making humble and earnest supplication, God sent an angel to comfort him and to assure him of an answer, Daniel 9, verses 20 to 24. God defers for the present to answer the prayer of faith. It is not from any backwardness to answer, but for the good of his people sometimes, that they may be better prepared for the mercy before they receive it, or because another time would be the best and fittest on some other account. And even then, when God seems to delay an answer, the answer is indeed hastened, as in Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Sometimes when the blessing seems to tarry, God is even then at work to bring it about in the best time and the best manner. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will come. It will not tarry. Third, that the Most High is eminently one that hears prayer appears by his giving so liberally an answer to prayer. James 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, God, who gives to all liberally and doesn't abrade you. Men often show their backwardness to give, both by the scantiness of their gifts and by abrading those who ask of them. They will be sure to put them in mind of some faults when they give them anything, but on the contrary, God both gives liberally and abrades us not with our undeservings. He is plenteous and rich in his communications to those who call upon him. Psalm 86, verse 5. For those are good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy to all that call upon thee. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon him. Sometimes God not only gives the thing asked, but he gives them more than is asked. So he did to Solomon in 1 Kings 3, verses 12 and 13. Behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like you. And I also have given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be among the kings like unto you all your days. Yea, God will give more to his people than they can ask or even think, as is implied in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now, to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Fourth, that God is eminently of this character appears by the greatness of the things which he has often done in answer to prayer. Thus, when Esau was coming out against his brother Jacob with 400 men, without doubtfully resolved to cut him off, Jacob prayed, and God turned the heart of Esau so that he met Jacob in a very friendly manner, Genesis 32. So in Egypt, at the prayers of Moses, God brought those dreadful plagues, and at his prayer removed them again. When Samson was ready to perish with thirst, he prayed to God, and he brought water out of a dry jawbone for his supply, Judges 15, 18, and 19. And when he prayed, after his strength was departed from him, God strengthened him so as to pull down the temple of Dagon on the Philistines, so that those whom he slew at his death were more than all those whom he slew in his life. Joshua prayed to God and said, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And God heard his prayer and caused the sun and moon to stand still. Accordingly, the prophet Elijah was a man of like passion with us, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So the Apostle James observes in James 5, 17 and 18, So God confounded the army of Zerah the Ethiopian of 1,000,000 in answer to the prayer of Esau, 2 Chronicles 14, verse 9, and so on. And God sent an angel and slew in one night 185,000 men of Sennacherib's army in answer to Hezekiah's prayer, 2 Kings 19, verses 14 to 16. Inquiry. Why does God require prayer in order to the bestowment of mercies? It is not in order that God may be informed of our wants or desires. He is omniscient, and with respect to his knowledge, unchangeable. God never gains any knowledge by information. He knows what we want 1,000 times more perfectly than we do ourselves before we ask him. For though, speaking after the manner of man, God is sometimes represented as if he were moved and persuaded by the prayers of his people, yet it is not to be thought that God is properly moved or made willing by our prayers. For it is no more possible that there should be any new inclination or will in God than new knowledge. The mercy of God is not moved or drawn by anything in the creature, but the spring of God's beneficence is within himself only. He is self-moved, and whatsoever mercy he bestows, a reason and ground of it is not to be sought for in the creature, but in God's own good pleasure. It is the will of God to bestow mercy in this way, namely in answer to prayer, when he designs beforehand to bestow mercy, yea, when he has promised it. Ezekiel 36, 35, and 37. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and will do it. Thus saith the Lord, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. God has been pleased to constitute prayer to be antecedent to the bestowment of mercy, and he is pleased to bestow mercy in consequence of prayer as though he were prevailed on by prayer. When the people of God are stirred up to prayer, it is the effect of his intention to show mercy. Therefore, he pours out the spirit of grace and supplication. The reasons given why God requires prayer in order to the bestowment of mercy, one especially respects God and the other respects ourselves. First, with respect to God, prayer is but a sensible acknowledgement of our dependence on him to his glory. As he has made all things for his own glory, so he will be glorified and acknowledged by his creatures. And it is fit that he should require this of those who would be the subjects of his mercy, that we, when we desire to receive any mercy from him, should humbly supplicate the divine being. For the bestowment of that mercy is but a suitable acknowledgement of our dependence on the power and mercy of God for that which we need, and but a suitable honor paid to the great author and fountain of all good. Second, with respect to ourselves, God requires prayer of us in order to the bestowment of mercy because it tends to prepare us for its reception. Fervent prayer, many ways, tends to prepare the heart. Hereby is excited a sense of our need and of the value of the mercy which we seek, and at the same time, earnest desires for it, which the mind is more prepared to prize it, to rejoice in it when bestowed, and to be thankful for it. Prayer with suitable confession may excite a sense of our unworthiness of the mercy we seek, and a placing of ourselves in the immediate presence of God may make us sensible of his majesty, and in a sense fit to receive mercy of him. Our prayer to God may excite in us a suitable sense and consideration of our dependence on God for the mercy we ask, and a suitable exercise of faith in God's sufficiency, that so we may be prepared to glorify his name when the mercy is received.